It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, along with Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, Dana Perino, and Greg Gutfeld. I bet you didn't know it's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Dangerous smoke from wildfires in Canada choking out America. An orange haze blanketing the skies over a dozen states and causing air quality alerts from Minnesota to as far south as the Carolinas. But it is the most hazardous right here in New York City, which is experiencing its worst air quality in recorded history. The smoke forcing the FAA to shut down multiple airports during the day. And Major League Baseball has postponed tonight's Yankees-White Sox game due to the air quality. The city's mayor is warning vulnerable residents to stay inside.
New Yorkers must take precaution. We recommend vulnerable New Yorkers stay inside. And all New Yorkers should limit outdoor activity to the greatest extent possible. This is not the day to train for a marathon or to do an outside event with your children. Stay inside, close windows and doors, and use air purifiers.
And while Americans choke on the smoke, the far left smells an opportunity. AOC thinks this is a great time to push her Green New Deal. She says that we must, quote, adapt our food systems, energy grids, infrastructure, and healthcare to prepare for what's to come. Other Democrats are pumping up climate hysteria and bringing back, you guessed it, mask insanity.
I wear my mask in solidarity. Climate change is not a hoax. We're not only seeing the haze from these fires, we're also feeling it in our very own lungs.
The work to protect our climate is far from over, and we're dangerously behind.
It's only getting worse, but this is why the president has made climate change a priority. This is why he's taken the aggressive actions that he's taken, historic actions.
So what are our friends in Canada doing about this? Their Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is not issuing an apology, but he does seem worried about the kids.
People across the country are being affected. We're seeing vulnerable people at risk, outdoor events canceled, kids having to be kept inside at recess. I can't help but think, my conversation with Liam yesterday to conversations with my own kids. The past few years have been challenging for kids, whether it was through the pandemic, whether it was readjusting to school, whether it's now dealing with wildfires.
You know, Dana, I think it's interesting, you know, you hear from the left, you know, where they're kind of throwing us back to the pandemic and all that. But look, the mayor of New York City is asking millions to stay indoors. I mean, there's talking about whatever it is going directly into our bloodstreams. And yet we haven't heard a peep from President Biden. We don't even know if the White House has spoken with Canada.
They might have called a lid. I don't know. There might be a lid on the White House to protect them from the smoke. A few things. First of all, Canada has done something that many have not been able to do, and that is united Americans in anger against Canadian, our northern neighbor. And we thank them for that. Just kidding. About a week or two ago, my sister in Denver was complaining that they hadn't been able to see the mountains and it had been very hazy and smoky there for about a week or two. And I remember as a kid, this would happen occasionally. The difference here is that these are wildfires in Canada, and then those wind pattern is sending it down here. So where were AOC, Schumer, anybody else talking about anybody care about the West that's been dealing with this for a long time? They don't. They don't care about it until it hits here. Did they even know there were wildfires in Canada? And Canada is experiencing really bad wildfires on their public lands. Okay, and we have a similar problem, and it has to do with forest management. The Biden administration has policies that are in direct conflict with one another. The first is that they say they want to restore and preserve old growth and mature forests. On the other hand, the Department of Agriculture has declared a wildfire crisis, and they're using money from the infrastructure bill and the IRA in order to deal with large swaths of forest lands. Where you do not have this problem is on privately owned land, because people who own their own land figure out a way to keep it a little bit more intact. When wildfires can occur naturally, of course, but if you are actively managing your forest, then you can prevent some of these things. The left has never wanted to do that. If, let's say that you have a project where you want to make sure that this old growth forest, that you deal with the underbrush. Well, one of the things that happens is the environmentalists will throw every single thing that they have in its way to prevent you from actually doing that. And then what do you have? You have a problem that it's not just rural America that is dealing with this now, but because we have built so far into, it's called the WUI, the wildlife, wild-urban interface.
WUI.
Yeah, WUI. Then you have more and more people being affected by it. I actually worked on the Healthy Forest legislation, so it's all coming back to me, and I will shut up now.
I never would have guessed. But you know what?
I love that bill.
Dana, the point that Dana makes is a great point, and it has to do with forest management. And we first started talking about this when there were wildfires in California, and Gavin Newsom was blaming everything but, you know, any kind of forest management. And yet, we're at a point now where I think 49% of Americans believe climate change is caused mostly by human actions, the lowest reported, apparently, in many years. So why are Democrats, why do they keep pushing climate change over something that could have been prevented?
Well, it's good to be back around the table and be in this conversation. Look, I think it's hard to, I think the politics of this can go, it probably goes both ways, and I don't disagree. The forest management issue is one that Democrats probably and Republicans. If you're in the majority in the House, perhaps a forest management bill that Dana referenced should be perhaps one of the priorities. We can and should debate what causes these occurrences. I have an opinion, a theory of the case that some of this, a lot of this is man-made, but I'm open to the debate. But what is harder to debate is the frequency, the increasing frequency of these occurrences. And what's even harder to debate about that is that it's clear that our climate is changing for some set of reasons. Few facts. Dana pointed out things that have happened out west for a while. The west is running out of water. It's scarcer than it's been. Fires are seemingly everyday occurrences out west. It's hard to buy home insurance in Florida because insurance companies are reluctant to sell home insurance unless at a prohibitively high price because of the frequency, increasing frequency of hurricanes. What's happened here in Canada, I hope that they learn from this. It's disconcerting and concerning on other levels because this is the beginning of their wildfire season. This thing is going to, supposedly, according to the meteorologist, will last deeper into July and maybe even early August. So this may, unfortunately, what we're dealing with today and yesterday, we could find ourselves dealing with it more and more. I just wish whatever the answers are, take the politics out of it. If we need more money for forest management, we have policies that are in conflict with one another, the Congress and the Senate ought to get together and figure this out, because what we've experienced here today in New York has been bad.
You know, Jesse, one of the things that I was reminded of when I realized that we were inhaling the air from the fires in Canada was something that I always reference, and that is that we shut down coal plants here, and they're building them over in China, you know, in multiples to create these lithium batteries. We all breathe the same air. And so this idea that we have to stop building coal plants here, isn't that nothing more than virtue signaling?
Before we get started, I just want to acknowledge how brave all of us are for showing up to work today in this city. We are working under hazardous air quality conditions. This city's air quality is worse than it was on 9/11. What did we do? We came into the building to put on a show for you, America. Some people have called us firefighters. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I understand where you're coming from. Yesterday, when I looked upstairs and I saw the smog and I thought it was because of the free crack pipes the mayor was handing out, then I found out it was our neighbors. So we got the neighbors in the south giving us migrants. The neighbors in the north are giving us smoke bombs. Are you kidding me right now, Canada? I mean, are you kidding me? Not a single word, not an apology, nothing. And we find out the combination is from campers in Canada who don't know how to put out a campfire and lightning strikes. Now, I'm not asking Trudeau to apologize for the lightning strikes, but for the reckless campers, I'm going to have to demand an apology. I saw a woman coming into work today. She took off her mask and lit a cigarette. I'm just happy my marathon training can resume tomorrow because we got a big race coming up. I also want to note something to all of you climate crazies. New England's dark day. It occurred in 1780. This was when the entire area of New England went pitch black around noon. People were lighting candles. It was because of forest fires in Canada. We did not have the internal combustion engine in 1780, so this stuff just happens. Fires in the forest are actually less prevalent. Is this the apocalypse? Are we looking for the signs? We had a UFO situation the other day. I don't know. We had an eclipse. Remember Trump was looking up there with the stupid goggles? I found a frog in my pool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Then we had a pandemic.
You have a pool.
There are a lot of suspicious things. How about the witches in Canada that were feasting on the deer flesh under the moonlight? Naked.
Which ones?
You didn't see Jesse Waters' primetime last night?
No, I didn't. Okay, I'm going to go to you, Greg.
He really wants that 8 p.m. slot.
Yeah.
Started in Ukraine.
Yeah. All right. All right, Greg. What? You know, can we... Does it matter what the question is?
No, it doesn't. The WNBA. The WNBA, which plays indoors, suspended their games. You know why? There's a good reason. They were worried about the health of their fan. So already, the media is blaming climate change. ABC is connecting it to climate change. USA Today asked if the fires were actually caused by climate change. And Harold, you're right. Your intuition is that it's man-made. 90% of all wildfires are started by humans.
People.
Yeah. Campfires left unattended, burning of debris, discarded cigarettes, equipment malfunctions. And get this, and you'll know, and a lot of people in California know this concerning the homeless, 1 in 4 wildfires are caused by arson. People start them because they're mentally ill. And you're right, we've abdicated real forest management, and so there's a lot more to burn, and that's why insurance companies are leaving California. I love the haze. It's the best thing to come from Canada since Jason Priestley. First... It's really hard to see what's going on the street. And when you live in New York,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Got your junkies shooting up. You got the homeless defecating. You got Kill Me just hitchhiking. All of that is obscured by that surreal, magnificent haze. And even better, the air is so thick, it actually can slow down bullets. So it helps when you're on the street and caught in a crossfire, which is now often. You're right about the apocalypse. New York City needed an airborne environment to match its current state of despair. You already have, it's like the Road Warrior. You already got the marauding gangs, the deranged street maniacs, the filthy streets. You just needed the toxic icing on this crusty, cadaverous cake. I mean, this is as hazy as Harold's dorm room in college.
Oh.
Ooh.
Harold.
What is he trying to say?
Fake news. Fake news.
You know what they said? They said it was like, if you're out there for an hour, it's like smoking 6 cigarettes. So I was thinking of smoking 1 cigarette and then being ahead of the game inside. Oh, no, never. Coming up next, parents brawl over their kids' education while the far left calls a parental rights group extremist.
I brought in Ensure Max Protein.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
The battle over parental rights literally turning into one. Things getting violent outside a school board meeting in Glendale, California. Antifa thugs brawling with parents who were protesting the school board's push to incorporate LGBTQ plus materials into the curriculum. Parental groups are also coming under attack. The far-left Southern Poverty Law Center smears multiple parents' rights organizations as hate and anti-government groups, lumping the Moms of Liberty in with the likes of neo-Nazis and the KKK. This SPLC stuff, they're just a bunch of moms. Where do they come off labeling them like
There's
that?
There's a group called, it's called Parents Defending Education. That's what they call themselves, like the parental rights group. And they have been, basically, they try to do things like highlight public schools misusing COVID funds, for example, especially to hire consultants teaching CRT. They have basically been attacked not only by the SPLC, but remember, also possibly by the Attorney General.
Oh, right.
Right? Like, so this is the same group. So I think what's happening is you are seeing a possible tipping point in this matter. When Antifa has to come out and fight parents, something is happening. And that means that parents are out there. They're wanting to be more engaged because they're realizing that the left has tried to take over their parenting as well as the education of their children. They don't like it. They want to be more involved. And that's going to be a big part of the election. If you think about Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia, when he won basically on that issue. And I don't know how it will turn out in 2024, but you're going to hear a lot about it on the campaign trail.
But Judge Jeanine, Antifa is just an idea.
Oh, it's a myth.
It's a myth.
It's not even an idea. You know what I love? Why is it always that the ones on the left are wearing the masks, right? Mm-hmm. If they are not the fascists, show your face. Don't be worried about it if you're in the right. Why do you need to cover your identity, right? Okay, but here, look, it seems that the schools right now are ground zero for the culture war that is breaking out right now. And, you know, the fact that parents want to be involved in their kids' education because COVID lifted the veil of what they're teaching our kids, which explains why so many corporate heads are woke and clearly, you know, off the rails. It simply means that it is really time now to get involved. Education is a local issue. And parents now know their strength, as Dana said, from what happened in Virginia, Loudoun County. And the left wants to simply destroy education as we know it. And the idea of Joe Biden, who has been talking to the school teachers, and there are kids when they're in school. You know, no, they're not your kids. They were never your kids. They're our kids, and we'll decide what we want them to learn. And the left has people convinced that we want our kids to continue to be white supremacists and oppressors. And that's what education's all about. And they have to fight it. No, they don't. Just teach the rigors of education.
Have you ever gotten into a brawl outside of your child's school, Harold Ford Jr.?
I have not. That picture is unsettling, and it's unfortunate. We parents can agree or disagree about how and what their kids should be taught. And because I may disagree with someone, I would say that the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's done great work in other areas, you should denounce this. No one's a terrorist because you happen to disagree with them. I agree with you, Judge. We should return to many of the basics in science and math and reading, the core of what helps kids be able to critically think. I probably differ with some around our table. I should say I differ with some who've been presented and portrayed, because the greatest gift my high school and college and law school education gave me was the ability to think critically and to be accepting of ideas and views that I didn't know a whole lot about. Like, for instance, you just presented about New England Dark Day. Those who believe that climate change is induced by all these terrible things like the engine and gas and this and that, to your point, there was not a combustible engine then. Democrats should not want that to be taught, just as some who may think that teaching about race in school and banning AP history and AP African-American history is a good thing. This is part of our history, the good, the bad, and even the unfortunate. And the great thing about our history is that we've gotten stronger and better because we stand on it. So I don't, the terrorism language, all this stuff has gotten crazy. People are afraid of ideas. They're afraid of thoughts. And I hope parents can get together and figure out how you get back to the basics. And the basics involve learning a little something about our country that may make us at times a little unsettled.
I don't think anybody's arguing about learning history. Yeah. Who's doing the labeling? It's the SPLC calling these people terrorists. And I agree with you. They used
But DeSantis is banning books. I didn't mean to interrupt. But
not true.
He's not.
There are just books that are being moved from one part of a library to another. So it's not involving, like, banning a book means taking a book out. It just means you can't have it in one area. But can I just focus on this and destroy you in front of millions? All right. The SPLC is the equivalent of cancel culture's bad housekeeping seal. It's designed to ruin lives, right? By labeling them as a hate group, rather than your suggestion of debating the actual ideas. You can't do that because they're labeling you undebatable because you are a terrorist. And they've lost the lawsuit because I think it was Majid Nawaz over this. But I don't think you can just blame this new SPLC alone. Like, you can blame Charles Manson, but the real hate should also be directed at his family who committed the crimes. And the equivalent of his followers with the SPLC is the media and these weak bloggers and reporters and hacks who would type up SPLC's latest smear as objective news, portraying SPLC as like an expert in terror, pretending it's a legit outfit when it actually had morphed into the very thing that it used to condemn. They are trying to ruin people's lives. I mean, that goes online. These groups, mm-hmm. they have to answer to it. That's a deliberate attempt to destroy someone's life.
Can I add something? Because Google, for example, leans on the SPLC's maps and their research, yeah. and they help decide who's going to get either blocked or banned on social media.
Well, the Five has now labeled the SPLC a hate group, so there.
And also, Harold's a hate group.
Harold. It's a one-man hate group.
No, he's
350-plus books have been banned in Florida school districts since last
who's
July.
Who's your site? What's your
fine band?
Yeah, and what is... What
who's
is,
the source?
The Miami New Times.
Oh,
what
come
is that?
On.
Never heard of them.
That's a hate group. The Miami...
All right, we got to go. Uh-oh. We got to go. Up next, RFK Jr. showing up Joe Biden at the border and has Democrats shaking in their boots.
Oh, man. Yeah. But wonder why the fight is...
RFK Jr.'s primary challenge to President Biden causing some panic for the White House and Democrats. There's worry that Kennedy's rising profile and decent poll numbers could be stealing some of Biden's reelection thunder. A Democrat strategist thinks the president should, quote, take RFK seriously. Biden, if you don't, we can create a stronger Republican Party that beats us in 2024, like Bernie did in 2016. RFK has the potential to activate fringe anger if we mock them. And just this week, the Democrat candidate showing up at the border.
This is a humanitarian crisis because of the understanding across the globe that we now have an open border here. There are people being drawn here. They're being abused. There's all kinds of just horrific, terrible, terrible stories. And this is not a good thing for our country. It's not a good thing for these people. And it is unsustainable.
RFK going where Biden does not dare to tread.
Oh, man, I love this story so much. Democrats who call him fringe. Call him fringe because moderates are now the fringe. When you listen to his interviews, and I wish people would, he rejects the prison of two ideas. He wants to move past the us versus them mentality. This is something that Biden had actually weaponized. He pits people against each other. Mm. This guy wants to get away from that. He's persuasive enough to make you revisit your stances. And I know some people, you have to call out the elephant in the room, his voice. You know, how can you win with a voice like that? Well, easy, because he forces you to listen to him. Think about how Joe Biden sounds so breezy and effervescent and says nonsense, just nonsense. This guy struggles to speak, and every single word he says matters. Democrats shouldn't be jittery. They should be joyful. They should hope Joe Biden steps down and this guy becomes their nominee because he could beat Trump. Trump is a brilliant debater. He's an attack dog. He feeds off anger. Anger is his energy, right? Where is RFK's energy toward Trump? None. Where is RFK's energy toward MAGA, Republicans, supporters? None. He's the opposite of Joe Biden. He actually likes the deplorables. He condemned that word. He understands blue collars, where only Joe Biden fakes it. Joe Biden pretends he's his average Joe and he hangs out with steel workers like he's chums with his mechanic or, you know, he knows guy because he knows the name of his driver. RFK is actually the real deal. He goes out, he fishes, he explores, he reads books. I can't believe how much I like this person because I never could stand the Kennedys, but I might have to switch my party just so I could vote for him in the primary because I honestly do think he is a serious breath of fresh air. He genuinely sees and feels the appeal of the Trump supporter and even Trump himself. And that's why I believe Trump will have a hard time debating him because he'll agree with him. He'll agree with RFK Jr. on the deep state, on the military industrial complex, on the unseen and unheard Americans. I mean, I don't know. I just think this dude is a powerhouse. It'd be stupid to write him off.
Harold Ford Jr., would you like to reply from the Democrat point of view?
And you wouldn't ban books.
I think Greg is largely right, as is that strategist. If you look at what the strategist referenced, he referenced Bernie Sanders in 2016, who I think accentuated some of the weaknesses and shortcomings that even some Democrats and independents in the Midwest felt about Mrs. Clinton. If you dismiss him, and I know what they're doing, I know what they're trying to do is to not give his campaign more fuel or more seriousness. But you can't dismiss someone who's going to the border. You can't dismiss someone who is saying that what's happening there is unsustainable. Now, I disagree with Greg about his. I don't think RFK is as serious a candidate for president, but he's raising serious issues that deserve, I think, a different kind of attention than's being given. The border and how, to your point, Greg, I've heard him talk about middle class America and how the wealthy in the country, the wealthiest in the country, got so much wealthier during COVID. And those who were in the middle, their kids didn't get educated. They lost a year at work. They lost the ability to learn how to work and know how to work. These are issues we have to deal with. And I give him credit for bringing those issues up. And I hope that the advice, I don't know the young man, I think it was a young man that made that, Michael Cusick, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the strategist.
Sarasso.
I hope the White House takes it seriously because I think he's right.
Do you know what else, Jesse? We talk a lot about the visuals, right, because it's a visual medium. And when interesting, if you could pull that back up there, when RFK is at the border, he's using a selfie video, right? So it's not like some like highly like slick political ad. It's more authentic.
This is what Beto O'Rourke wanted to be.
Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting. Oh, my gosh, that's a good
and
point.
He could never pull it off. I like him a lot, but I had to uninvite him from Jesse Waters' primetime because he did every other show in the universe except my show. So it was just a matter of honor at that point. Joe Biden is rattled because RFK Jr. is campaigning, and Joe Biden is not campaigning. So RFK Jr. is not falling. He's not lying. He's not hiding. He's actually doing interviews, maybe not on my show, but he's traveling. He is engaging. I bet you'd see him in the south side of Chicago. You're going to see more of him in these venues, and it's going to resonate. Now, he said some very interesting stuff about the border. He said he interviewed 150 people. They're coming in from West Africa, Afghanistan, Nepal, Kazakhstan, China. All of them are unvetted. They go to the Border Patrol agents for like 24 hours and they process them and they disappear. And they said all of these people are living tragedies because they've all been physically abused by cartel coyotes and they've all been robbed blind by the cartel coyotes. So it's a human catastrophe down there. Now, he's not fringe. I agree with Greg. The man's pragmatic. That makes him fringe because he's saying the same things Democrats have said for many, many years. Defense contractors are getting boatloads of money to build weapons that they don't need. And big tech is censoring us and big pharma is in bed with the federal government and the little guy is getting screwed. If that makes you fringe, then we're all fringe.
Judge Pirro, wrap us up.
Okay. Here. You know, I think that RFK is giving the Democrats something that Joe and Kamala can't, and that is a plan.
Right.
That is a coherent argument. That is appealing to issues that are important to us. I mean, him at the border, when I saw that, I said, good for you. Now, I know him. He was in Westchester for years. He's an environmental guy, and he is a guy who works hard. He is genuine. He believes what he believes. And whether the Kennedy name is a pro, I don't know. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. I'm not a pollster. I don't have the slightest idea. But what I know is when he talks about the immigrants coming into this country, the numbers being unsustainable, the fact that it's a humanitarian crisis, which Kamala can't say it, Joe Biden can't say it. This guy is more than an annoyance to the White House. This guy is a real deal. And I'll tell you what, he's not placating. He's not the kind of guy who's going to say, oh, you know, I believe in the assault weapons ban. And I think the election process is perfect. I mean, he's going against some of the Democrat, some of their plans. He's not afraid of that. I think that even though he differs in some fundamental issues with Democrats, as long as he stays on that one cultural issue, abortion, with the Democrats, they won't care because they see him as credible. And I think that those people who are in the pan for Joe Biden are only in the pan for Joe Biden because they hate Donald Trump. If they think that there is an alternative to not Donald Trump, but an alternative to Joe, they're going to jump in. This is a story that's just beginning.
All right. Up next, America's home and lifestyle queen, Martha Stewart, going on a rampage against remote work. We'll be right back. Yeah, you win some, you lose some. It ain't always home runs, and that's just the way life plays.
If we were a team in love. All right. Hey, well, you're too hot to trot now, baby. Well,
Martha Stewart says she's going on a rampage to get people back in offices, telling a magazine, quote, "You can't possibly get everything done working 3 days a week in the office. Should America go down the drain because people don't want to go back to work?" And Martha doubling down on a Today Show.
My kind of work is very creative and it is very collaborative.
Yeah.
And I cannot really stomach another Zoom, you know, Zoom here, Zoom there. It just doesn't get the work done in the right way. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Greg, your work is very creative, very smart, very collaborative. Do you agree with Martha?
Well, she hates work-at-home employees because it's no fun yelling at someone on Zoom, and that can be recorded. She was a boss, and she was a notoriously tough one, and she bossed in the era when you could really throw things at people's heads. I killed one of my assistants. I had a barrier out in the woods. R.I.P., Carla. But, you know, God forbid, now these days, God forbid, you tell somebody they look great or you have a picture of your wife on your desk. You know, you can't, everything's changed. So having people work at home takes the fun out of it. It's like the difference between, you know, being a cop making arrests or just working the desk.
Dana?
Well, I think that I agree with her, but I also think it's a losing battle because younger people have decided that they like the flexibility. At most, they want to come to the office 2 or 3 days a week. And a lot of companies are finding that even if they do feel this way, their fight for talent is being hampered if they require people to be in the office. I have a friend who just lost 3 employees to go to a competitive firm because that one offered work from home. So that I agree with her, but I also think that companies have to find a way to be creative to accommodate what these younger workers want.
Judge, in one of the national newspapers, I think over the weekend, it was reported that younger workers, to Dana's point, they want a different kind of work balance, personal lifestyle balance. Is this something that we should, is Martha wrong about this? Or if she's right, are we even going to get to that again?
I agree with Martha, and I'll tell you why. I think people today are striving to be lazy and not be ambitious. I think that COVID taught people that they could run around in their pajamas. They could go to the supermarket there. They could go to airports in their pajamas and, you know, do the bare minimum then, you know, to go above and be the best. And the truth is, sooner or later, we're going to have people in this country want to go above and be the best and compete. So those people who are lazy, who want to stay at home, they don't want to make as much money. I get it. You know, they're willing to take less money and stay at home. They're going to be losers in the end because we are ultimately, and I believe we always will be, a capitalist country.
Prime time.
If I'm the boss and my workers pull this garbage, this is what I do. I start garnishing wages. And then I start docking vacation days.
Good.
And then you know what I do?
What?
I get my private security guards to go over to her house on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock to see what she's up to. Maybe I find her at the mall. Maybe she's at TGI Fridays throwing back cocktails. Maybe I have footage of her trying on blouses at Ann Taylor.
You
know what
that.
I do? What? I give her an opportunity to be honest. I say, listen, were you working on the project on Thursday afternoon? And if she lies to me and she says, Yes, I was. I present her with the evidence. You were trying on blouses. You were knocking back cocktails. And then she says, you were following me? And then I said, I will waste my own company resources on frivolous, petty things like that. However, I damn well please. I'm the CEO of this company. And then she says, you know what? I'm firing an HR complaint against you. I said, you can't file one because you just got fired. And then you know what I do? I hire someone half her age and pay her half her salary.
Yeah. And then you know what? She charges you with stalking and harassment.
Well, I got a whole team of lawyers to put that to bed.
On that beautiful note. Are online reviews totally meaningless? Coming up.
As we share our fair talking in the glow.
Okay, everyone. Our mission...
Customer reviews are meaningless. There, I said it. A new report says that Americans are handing out perfect five-star ratings like it was candy. And it's ruining the whole thing. Apparently, it's thanks to the never-ending guilt of potentially hurting someone's livelihood. This is fake news. We love giving terrible reviews, Harold.
I give a great review because I want an Uber because I want them to give me a,
yes,
good
a great review.
Because my score has come down a bit because I cancel sometimes when the cars are. So I'm trying to get my score back up. So 5 and 5.
There you go.
In the car, as a kid say.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
Judge,
I made it up.
Do you actually go on and give reviews like on Yelp or anything?
No, I don't do that on Yelp. But I got to tell you, something that struck me. It's like everybody, you know, wants to give good reviews, and you're right, they're meaningless. But it kind of reminds me of picking a jury, right? You pick a jury, everybody is against crime, right? Everybody's all against crime. But you have to pick the juror who's going to have the stamina, the chutzpah, or whatever, to convict someone. And that is how I liken this.
Mm. You think that's
Jesse,
the jury selection?
No. What I'm saying is a lot of people will say, yeah, crimes are bad. But then they don't go convict.
But see, I believe Jesse is petty enough to go online and destroy a business because his French fries were cold. Am I right?
I will go on air and do that. I have a show, and I can do bad critiques on air. I just give 5 stars to make stuff go away.
Ah, very good, exactly. Very good. You know what, though, Dana? We've talked about this before. I hate people who go public with complaints before handling it privately. Like, they go on social media, and they trash somebody, or they trash a company, and it's like, well, they might have been able to help you with your service.
Had
or if it's
not.
An airline. But yeah. People like that feeling.
Or your loved one who lives with you asked you to go on your own Twitter, which has more followers, so you can complain about the company.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm not going to do that. But I also think the bigger problem here are the people that give fake 1-star reviews.
Yes.
Because that is a thing, and they try to destroy businesses, and then you can't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it happens all the time. And then you try to appeal to Yelp and say, this person, you know, is a disgruntled neighbor down the street, and they're trying to ruin my business. That's the bigger problem.
You're absolutely right. That's why I think this is bogus. And I'm going to write a review about this show. Shock, Gutfeld. One more thing's up next.
The newspaper shout, and your style is growing.
Age is just a number.
It's time now for one more thing, Harold.
A United States naval officer flew across the world 30 hours to surprise his daughter at her graduation. Douglas Hernandez was returning from deployment in the Middle East and hadn't seen his family since last July.
Wow.
He coordinated with the staff at UNLV to arrange a surprise for his daughter, Pamela. You can see the look on her face. Although, as I said, he traveled 30 hours, it was well worth it. Congrats to him, to her, and the family.
Oh, that's great. Okay, Greg.
How could you see him? All right.
I missed that.
Tonight, 11 o'clock, Jamie Lissau, Kaylee McEnany, Todd Pyro, Kat Tiff. It's going to be great. And now it's this. Greg's World Record News. Oh, get ready for this. A 3-year-old Labrador German Shepherd with the, named Zoe, the longest tongue on a living dog. Thank God they didn't use dead dogs. I think that would have been inappropriate because you have to dig them all up and stretch their tongues out. But look at that tongue. It must be really hard to run around with a tongue like that. I know the feeling. So anyway, keep your mind out of the gutter, Dana. This is a wholesome family program. Anyway, take that, Gene Simmons.
You know what? Can you imagine what it's like when he drinks out of a water bowl? There's got to be water all over the place. Very messy. Okay. Criminals are now thinking outside the box, but really inside the box. A guy in Florida puts a box on his head to steal phones in a Florida store. And then he's dumb enough to take the box off his head, revealing his face to the security camera. Eventually, they found him in a plaza drinking with his buddies at a nearby liquor store. And he was arrested and charged with grand theft, burglary, criminal mischief, cocaine possession. All right, Jesse.
Definitely the cocaine. And you're on Hannity.
Oh, I'm on Hannity tonight.
All right. I want to wish a very special happy birthday to Michelle Frazetta. She is the best hairstylist in the business.
Happy birthday, Michelle.
She takes care of my hair every single day. Super talented. Super spunky. We love her.
She keeps yours in a box, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's the same box that guy had on his head. Tonight, Jesse Waters Primetime, we made Johnny go breathe some dirty air and interview people in New York about the smog. Watch.
New York City has new crack pipe vending machines. You think this is all from everyone smoking it up?
Smoking weed?
Oh, there you go. You got that from the vending machine?
No, I got this in Virginia.
Okay, Dana?
You know what? I don't have enough time, but I will be watching everyone's shows. Show.
Oh, Dana's on my show.
All right.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.